Lord, hearing the testimonies of those who have come up and spoken and shared about their lives and how you have changed them. Lord, I just thank you for these things. Pray that you would be with us, that your spirit would guide us in this time, looking into your word. In your name I pray. Amen. This past Thursday, I came home and I found a key in the backyard once I came through the gate. And the key, I picked it up, it said Schlage on it. And I was like, oh, this looks like our pool key. There was a white lanyard on our pool key, and it looked like it was flimsy, it was breaking. Maybe this is our pool key. So I go inside, check where the pool key is, and the white lanyard with the pool key is there. So now I'm holding a key that says Schlage on it, and I have no idea where it goes. And what do you think was my next question? Where does this key go? And this morning, I want to share with you a passage from Scripture that hopefully is like this key. And I pray that the Lord is going to speak to you through this, and you'll be asking yourself, where does this go in my life? Please turn to Psalm 100. Our passage this morning is going to come from the Psalm 100. I actually found this passage when I was going through a very hard time. I was personally just really struggling. My life was, had a lot of challenges, health challenges in it, and my father had just passed. And so it was emotionally just very difficult. Like a lot of things were happening at once. And I was crying out to the Lord for his compassion, for his grace. I was completely desperate, and all of the things that I could do were totally out of my control. I had done what I could do, and things were beyond me. So I cried out to God, knowing that he cares for me, that he loves me, and that he can make a change in my life. I was completely desperate, and I was begging him every night for help in this certain situation I was going through. And the Lord actually gave me this verse, and it was not what I was expecting. Really, I was asking him for healing, for help, for the change in my situation. And he gave me Psalm 104. It reads like this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. So if you're taking notes, you can write down my thesis, which is bring God your thanksgiving. Bring God your thanksgiving. And as we look through this, we're going to just kind of go through the psalm briefly. I want you to think of this like a ladder. So each rung of the ladder is a reason why we bring our thanksgiving to God. And the psalm has many reasons why we bring our thanksgiving to God. And I'm sure you have your own reasons why you might bring your thanksgiving to God. And the testimonies we saw tonight are another reason why we can bring our thanksgiving to God. He's an amazing God doing amazing things. And it's so exciting to see how he's working. I always appreciate the step testimonies. If you read verse 3, the first why you should bring your thanksgiving to God, it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It starts with the most basic thought. God created everything. Like, look up, look down, look all around. The Lord created all of it. Yes, man kind of constructed this building from the materials that God created. But if you go outside, if you look around, God created everything. We went to Yosemite this past week, and Yosemite is an amazing place. It's so beautiful, and it's just so majestic. You go through the tunnel, and then the whole valley is before you. And I was just reminded of the amazing creation that God has created. The meadows, there's butterflies, there's birds in the trees. The trees are massive, like you could drive a car through it. And the rocks, like the mountains of the rocks are like the size of small countries. And you're just like underneath all of them, like looking up, and there's this like majestic rock everywhere. The Lord created all of it. And this passage, verse 3, says, know that the Lord, he is God. The most basic reason that we give thanks to God is because he created everything. We start our rung of the ladder knowing that God is God, and he has the position of creator. But not only is he the creator of all of the earth, all of the cosmos, the stars, the skies, the land, the streams in Yosemite, it goes on and says, that it is he who made us, and we are his. So not only did God create everything that you can see that is amazing. If you look at each face, you can see God made something special in each face. God made you. And across the 8 billion people that are alive today, each one of them is unique. And I think that tells us something about God, that he can construct man. We're all the same in many ways. We're also unique in a variety of ways. Even identical twins, if you look at identical twins, they have different fingerprints. Like, God is constructing even the identical twins that share the exact same DNA uniquely, because he's a God who knows you. And I think if we were able to bring God up here on stage and bring any one of you up on stage and we started to interview God about you, maybe Stephen, Dorcas, Kritika, he would have so many things to say. He would say, oh, Kritika, I know about her this and that. And I know everything that she has done. I know what she loves. I know what she dreams about. I know everything about Kritika. And then we could bring up Dorcas. And he would have the same discourse that he could say everything that he knows about Dorcas and how he loves her and how he knows everything that she is going through. There's nothing that passes his mind that is not captured in his heart. And it's hard for us to recognize that. Yes, we're man. I can only have a short conversation with each of you. I don't know much about all of you, but God knows each one of us individually. He knows you individually, and he cares about you. The passage says, it is he who made us, and we are his. Not only does he know us, not only did he create us, but the passage says that we are his people. So not only can we give thanks because God knows us so compassionately, and he knows every detail about who we are, he calls us his own people. So it's not just like some person out there. God takes on a relationship with us that is extremely unique. We get to become his people. It also says the sheep of his pasture. So God chooses to know us. And it was written at a time when the Israelites rightly could say that we are the people of God. This is a psalm written in the Old Testament. But clearly we see how in the New Testament, in many ways, the Lord calls us his own people. In Peter, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. This recognition that under Jesus, in Christ, we have this possession of being God's people. And he knows us. It's a different kind of knowledge than he knows the outside world. He doesn't know them. He doesn't call them his people like he does us. And so with the testimonies this morning, and for those of us who have called upon the Lord, we are his people. So, rung one, God himself is God. He created everything. Rung two, he made us. Rung three, we are his people. Rung four, we are the sheep of his pasture. It says in verse three, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So this is bringing out this idea that not only are we man, we're kind of this amazing image of God, we're also like sheep. We're lowly. We need somebody to protect us. We can't walk around and sort of like be self-sustaining. We need somebody that's going to come and stand in the gap and protect us, because we are like sheep. And in Isaiah it says, we go astray. We need somebody that is going to bring us back, is going to shepherd us, that is going to forgive us when we sin and when we go astray, somebody that cares so deeply for us. And this is brought out all the more in recognizing the story of Jesus, how he calls himself the good shepherd. We are the sheep of God's pasture. And when you think about it, if you're having a bad day, you can always remember that I am the sheep of God's pasture. And I think that should change how we go before God and how we see our circumstances, recognizing that, yes, I'm a sheep. There's only so many things I can do. I can baa, I can chew, I can run, maybe I can jump, but I have a shepherd that protects me and that cares for me. So we have these rungs. We're climbing up, understanding, why can I give thanks to God? I had this situation where my circumstances were against me giving thanks to God. I was really struggling, like, Lord, how can you let this happen? Like, this is bad. And it was bad. But the Lord gave me this verse, and he said, enter my gates with thanksgiving and my courts with praise. And it shifted my perspective. I wasn't expecting it. I was sort of expecting what I was asking for. verse says, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I love the simplicity of this. Like, it is not hard for you to understand the verse we just read. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And that's the beauty of the gospel, I see. It's not difficult. Like Evan was saying, the 3, 4, 5-year-olds can understand the gospel. Like, it's so simple. Of course, the Bible is huge, and you can go into a lot of detail about how amazing things are. But the simplicity of the gospel is right there for even the little kids. And Jesus says, let them come to me. It's in this way, the simplicity of the gospel, that you come to understand that I love you and I care for you. So I love the simplicity of this. Bring God your thanksgiving. And it's kind of all that I have to say is you understand it. But hopefully I will convince you to do it. So we see here in this verse, it's referencing the gates and the courts. And this is a picture of the gates of the temple and the courts of the temple. It's this idea of you're progressively moving inside towards the temple, which is where the presence of God is. And as we enter the presence of God through prayer, it is the same thing. But it also gives us this picture of we're entering into the presence of God. Now, we all know there's sort of special places on earth that have a different level of dress code than other places. Now, imagine that you're a juror going into the Supreme Court of San Jose County, and you bring your flip-flops and beach towel and say, I'm going to go to the beach after this. I was just going to check in for my juror duty. What's going to happen? They're going to ask you to leave because in the Superior Court of San Jose, there is a respect given to the law that requires that you follow some dress code. Actually, I looked it up. It's business casual. So I'm sorry, you can't bring your flip-flops and beach towel into the court because the judge that is presiding over the court, there's a level of respect given to that because of the position. In the same way as we go into the position of God, how much more does our dress code change as we enter into the presence of God? And that verse, it starts with enter. And I want to point a couple things out on this word. So when it says we enter the presence of God, this is saying that it is your choice to come into the presence of God. It's not like God pounces on you in the middle of the morning and you're like, whoa, God, like, let me talk to you. No, we have a choice to enter into the presence of God. And this is an amazing thing, that we at any time, any place, can bow our head and enter into the presence of God. But it also requires a level of respect and understanding of who God is. And so when we see that this entry requires something of us, it changes how we think about where we're going. And this is really where the Lord was shaping my heart. Like, I felt like I was running into the emergency room saying, like, doctor, doctor, somebody come, I need help. And he was saying, yeah, I am the great healer. And so compassionately, he reminded me, yes, but you're in the presence of God. And I had to recognize that he was showing me I should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And honestly, this is the best thing that he could have told me because it started to lift me up out of my circumstances, out of my situation, and recognize that I'm coming before the God of the universe with actually a slightly minor problem. Yes, it's difficult, and yes, it caused a lot of pain. And I know that all of us here have difficult situations that cause a difficult lot amount of pain. And I'm not trying to minimize that at all. And the Lord didn't minimize that at all. He heard my prayer and he answered me. But at the same time, he reminded me that I was entering the presence of God. And that actually changed things for me because I was able to see him more clearly. And I think that we're expected to enter the Lord's presence in this way because it's the only fitting dress code for coming before the Lord of the universe. He created all of this. He knows us. He shepherds us. He cares for us. He is in charge of everything. He's the ruler of all rulers and the doctor of all doctors, and he has given us eternal life. And so when we enter the Lord, we need to think What do I believe about God, and how does that shape how I'm coming to him right now? And I want to close on verse 5. It says this, "For the Lord is good." The Lord is good. And I think that we should stop and ask ourselves this question. Do you believe that the Lord is good? You can have all these situations in your life and really struggle with your circumstances, but do you stop and think, is the Lord good? And really, I think the universe has been fighting over this question since the beginning. In the garden, when the Satan said, did the Lord really say? What is he questioning? He's questioning, is the Lord really good? Like, is it really a good command that you can't eat of that tree? You can have all the trees, but really, is the Lord good to say that you can't eat of that tree? And so I think the whole cosmos has been fighting over this question, is God good? And so whenever we come before God and we bring our prayers to him, when we bring our thanks, it is a recognition that he is good. When you pray to him, you're climbing the ladder of why you give thanks, bringing God your thanks when you pray. And this verse gives us so many reasons, because he is God. He made us. You are a sheep in his pasture. He chose to shepherd you. He gave you the opportunity to be wiped clean of your sins and to come alongside him and have a personal relationship. He is good. It says his steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, none of these topics identify the person giving thanks for their specific circumstance. They're giving thanks for who God is, because they're coming into the presence of God. And whenever we look to God and understand who he is, we recognize that he has taken care of everything that we need. And actually, maybe there's circumstances that are really painful and we don't understand why he's doing such a painful thing to us. But we recognize that he is good, and eventually we'll see, maybe not on this side of heaven, that he was orchestrating all things to good for those who loved him. So as I close, I just want to encourage you with a couple of points of application. One, I encourage you to just memorize this verse. It's what, like 15 words? It's so easy to remember, and maybe you already have it memorized. Just put it into your heart and bring it with you whenever you pray. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And maybe that will shape how you pray before the Lord. I know for me, it causes me to take more time to pray because I have to think what to thank him for. I can't just rush in there with a couple of requests and then dash off. I actually have to prepare my heart, put on my dress clothes to go into the presence of God. And I think it also changes my week as I look for the ways that the Lord has been good. I'm not looking for my situations. I'm not looking at particular things that made me happy. I'm looking at who God is and how that doesn't change through time. And I'm able to bring that to the Lord in thanks. I can go to Yosemite and say, wow, Lord, this is amazing. I can really thank you for the amazing things that you've done. Or I can see the individual humans, the lives that he's changed, and I can say, wow, Lord, you are really good that you would change a life like that. And so it just makes it more exciting seeing how the Lord is working in many ways. And coming to him with thanksgiving is a way that, in a sense, forces us to do that. So my encouragement for you is to bring your thanksgiving to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you've given us so many reasons to give thanks. Thank you for these lives that you've changed. Thank you for your love and your pastoring, that you care for us as little sheep. You care for us, even the little children. Father, we praise you and we thank you for all you've done. Amen.